The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now we're going back to the budget for a little while. I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Did the motorists do well or not yesterday?
Didn't get much, to be honest with you, and got one mild kicking. The carbon tax, which is effectively excise duty with an eco-friendly name. But that puts about 2 cents per litre onto both main fuels, petrol and diesel. Now, oil prices are spiking as well, so it'll probably be lost in the froth. You won't really realise it. But it does mean that the last of the sort of post-COVID reductions are gone, and now they're back to ratcheting up the price. So remember, when you're filling up, that about 55%, between 55 and 60% of the cash price of what you're paying at the pumps is tax, pure tax, 100%.
And when we all go EV, that tax vanishes.
Yeah,
what then?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to figure it out, and no doubt they'll find other ways to gouge us. In the meantime, they're trying to move EVs along. Not very exciting in this budget. They've extended the BIK additional 10 grand for EVs. So if you've looked at that, you're a company car owner, it remains a good BIK option. They've done something which is so tiny as to be trivial. There's a BIK perk if you get your charger installed at home. There's already an SEAI grant. It doesn't cost you much anyway. In the scheme of things, it's nothing. I would have rather see them do something a little bit more eye-catching on EVs. For example, free tolls for EVs, I think would be terrific. They used to have a toll privilege. It's one of those things that really did appeal to the drivers. They liked it.
If you're going across the toll bridge, either Westlink or Eastlink, twice a day, and some people who are in Commerce might be going over multiple times every day.
It's a big disincentive, and that would have been a nice perk. They've done something to make it more possible for fleet managers and corporate buyers to go EV in terms of applying the BIK to vans as well. So they're trying to give electric vehicles a nudge, but it won't achieve much, and certainly still miles behind target in terms of the take up of EVs, and their percentage of new cars is still
What low. Do they do for public transport?
Well, this is actually quite a good idea. They've done a couple of things. They're trying, well, personally, I think public transport should be as close to free as possible and shouldn't try and self-fund. So they're kind of growing that. The eye-catching thing is, for over 70s on the free travel pass, you can now bring a companion for free. So two for the price of none, if you like. Yeah. And the companion doesn't have to be, you know, contemporary of yours. It can be a son, can be a friend. So that's great. And they're also extending it for free public transport for children under 8. And they're extending the 90-minute fare.
And do the kids have to have ID?
Well, no, but why would these things really need to be policed down to the bone, Pat? It's public transport. If a 9-year-old wants to get in the bus, I don't care whether they're charged or not. It's good they're using the bus. So I'd be in favour of those measures. I think that is good.
And in terms of anything else to help, you know, buy more buses, create more?
Well, there's 3.9 billion allocated to the transport area. 2.9 billion of that is capital spend. There's also 3 billion in climate initiatives. And to be honest with you, I'm blessed if I know what they are. I'm not sure government knows what they are. But there's a hell of a war chest there to spend. So they're promising big spend on infrastructure. I think everybody will want to see that there's value for money and that they're capable of spending this properly. But in terms of specific initiatives, I guess what we're getting out of the budget is the promise that the money is there.
Okay, so no great big idea in terms of converting our ICE fleet to EV by 2030.
No, little small ideas around the edges, nothing terribly exciting there. A minor perk for fleet buyers, and just still no real initiative to actually push EVs forward, nor the thinking as to what we do when they eat up the old ICE tax revenue.
Now, finally, we're going to look to Paris, because they've done something extraordinary. This is Mayor Hidalgo, who's always anti-car.
Well, she is, yeah. And look, she's a directly elected mayor, which Paris has got and we do not. And they have terrific amount of local power. That can be a good thing or a bad thing. She's known for very wonky populist plebiscites from which she adopts a mandate to do things that she likes to do. Not all of her ideas are bad ideas, but they really are sort of, you know, little Napoleon-esque ones in terms of their democratic mandate. Anyway, what she's done is Paris's M50, which is the periphery week, she's introducing an ultra-low speed limit on that road.
30 miles per hour, 50k.
50 kph.
I mean, on a motorway. And imagine? It is a motorway. The periphery is a motorway.
It is. It's not quite as far out in relative terms as our M50 or as London's M25, but it's a really, really busy road. And you picture the scene there and you think, what earthly purpose is being served? However, good chance to kick motorists, so she's going to do it. Mm. And the other thing is that she's brought in a measure which hugely increases the price of parking for SUVs, again, supported by one of these small populist plebiscites. I think the interesting thing there is that she's defining an SUV by its weight. And if you're going to do that at all, I think that's the way to do it, rather than be snobbish about the car looking like a Jeep. But I've made the point before, modern cars are just too bloody big. Manufacturers have to fix that. They're twice the size of their predecessors. It's totally unnecessary. They're over-engineered. And while I'm not a huge Anne Hidalgo fan, I think a measure like this has me scratching my chin thinking, do you know what? That might not be a bad idea if it persuades manufacturers.
But her other idea of the periphery, I mean, we see on the M50 we have the variable speed limits depending on the traffic. The idea being it's better to go slower in bulk than stop-start. Speed, stop, speed, stop. So maybe that's what they should do in the periphery. When it's clear, you can go at 100 kilometres.
It would be better. Yeah. It would be better. And that's about the smooth management of the M50. Anne Hidalgo is claiming that, you know, ending stop-start motions will save emissions. I mean, it won't. It's nonsense. And it's increasingly nonsense with modern vehicles. Mm. And this is one of those anti-car things where you start with your conclusion, I will kick cars. And having formed your conclusion, you then build a daisy chain of kind of logic that can support it. And you get a populist vote for one of those populist things. So even when it's a good idea, it's not terribly democratic.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.